Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Irios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we used to walk home from the movies back when they were open.
Yes.
And now we watch movies at home, like the rest of
like
you.
Like everyone else. But there's an actual big action-packed, big star, big money movie out. New release.
Classic big star, big money movie, as it's colloquially known.
Oh, it's also known as a blockbuster. Some of you may have heard that very fancy cinematic term.
So it's Extraction. It's just been released on Netflix. It stars Chris Hemsworth. I don't really know much about this, except it looks like it's a big dumb action movie. He's a military guy.
But it's written by one of the Russo brothers, who they're the guys who made Avengers.
I thought they
were
the producers.
One of them wrote it.
Oh.
And the guy who directed it, don't ask me his name, was a stunt coordinator on loads of the Marvel movies.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's directorial debut.
Usually when stunt coordinators direct movies, you get really good fight scenes.
I mean, I should hope so. And obviously he's worked with Chris Hemsworth before. So I guess they've got a good rapport or whatever. So I hope it's good. Like, we both love, have briefly seen this pop up on the Netflix and then stopped it. But we can tell that it's a big action movie with a big leading man. Seems like a bit of a throwback to some of the movies we love from the 80s. I hope it is, the Arnie and Sylvester Stallone kind of movies.
You think you're expecting quips and one-liners and...
Yeah, because Chris Hemsworth's really funny, right? So I would presume they'd lean into that a little bit. So I hope so.
I guess.
And the Avengers, all the Marvel movies have really strong humour. So yeah, I'm hoping it's like that anyway. That's
all right.
My dream. But I'm so happy that Netflix have releases. It's so funny when they made it. They probably thought, it'll be a bit of a big deal. But, obviously, they weren't anticipating that it's actually the only blockbuster of the summer now, which is quite mad.
Yeah, their viewing figures must be through the roof.
Yeah. So at least, hopefully, all of you guys will have seen it for the review.
All right. So we're out for a quick walk. We can go for as many walks as we want now, because we live in England. Which is the only part of the UK that's apparently you're allowed unlimited exercise. very weird from the government. So we are... I'm going to go watch this movie in a bit, and then we'll check in afterwards.
Bye.
See you then.
This is an extraction.
So who are the players?
Biggest drug lord in India versus biggest drug lord in Bangladesh.
Some mythic shit, huh?
It's a kidnapping. Drug lord's son. Clock's running at 16 hours. Proof of life as of 6 hours ago.
Survive, you do exactly as I say.
Who are you?
Name?
Obi.
Move fast, stay low.
Something's wrong. The city's on lockdown.
Yeah, no shit.
The job is fucked, Tyler.
Right, we're back. We saw Extraction. It took us a while to watch this. This is the downside of a Netflix release. You don't just sit there and watch the thing. You pause it because someone goes up to get a cup of tea, or it's so late, so we say, "Will we just finish this tomorrow?"
And what specifically happened in this movie is that there was about half an hour in. It's not a spoiler because it's a very violent movie, but there was violence towards a kid.
Yeah, some dude just picks up. a kid and chucks him off a building. Yeah. And I'm like, oh God.
And it wasn't done in, I mean, not that that could ever be done in a funny way, but it wasn't in kind of a tongue in cheek kind of, it was just really violent and nasty.
To answer the
and
question,
I was like, nah, I'm not, I'm out.
To answer the question that Kathy sort of posed at the top half of this episode, this is not an 80s action movie with over the top comic book violence and action quips. This is hardcore ultra modern violence. If I was to describe this movie in a comparison to other movies, it reminded me of The Raid and John Wick in the way that it's got these really inventive and like kinetic action scenes in which the camera, they go out of their way, the filmmakers, to keep the camera on the action and make you feel like you're in it. And there's a particularly amazing car chase executed in the middle of this, which is one of those things that reminded me of The Raid 2, which the behind the scenes footage of that stuff is amazing. Like there's basically they strapped cameras to stunt guys who were hanging off the side of cars, and it's doing the same in this. The camera's like jumping in and out of car windows. It's absolutely thrilling, I thought. And Chris Hemsworth and all the actors in this do like amazing fight work. I thought that the action scenes were incredible in this movie. I just really liked the movie. I thought it was didn't really like it at first. I think it both threw us as we are sort of adjusting to the tone of it.
Yeah, when
it's
we
very
came
serious.
Back, because we took a few days off and came back again, and when we were like, okay, we know what we're watching now, because when it's so different from what you're expecting, it's a bit like, ooh. When we came
it's
back to it,
it's very grim. It was cynical and grim.
Do you know what I
and
think?
It was reminding us both of Rambo: Last Blood, which we watched recently,
which we didn't like.
And so it was just like, I don't. We weren't in the mood for that. Nah. But then when we came back to it, we knew what we were getting into.
But I think I agree with you that, like, of course, like the action scenes were really impressive, right? They were very thrilling and impressive. I really enjoyed them, and I'm not one for long action scenes. Usually I can, like, actually, funnily, in the Avengers and those kind of movies, I tend to get really bored with, like, the big set piece actions. But the handheld, hand-to-hand combat in this was brilliant.
It's incredibly choreographed. And it goes across multiple settings.
It does.
In and out of buildings.
But that does not a movie make. And Chris Hemsworth's brilliant. And I actually think, like, I saw a lot more dramatic acting from him than I've seen before in this.
He's
really good, but, like, I just feel like the script was so humorless, and the script was so paint by numbers. Like, I think whichever of the Russo brothers wrote this script, like, I just don't think he's a very good writer. It felt very paint by numbers. There was no depth to it. It wasn't like, no one had any good lines. Like, the closest thing we came to a couple of good lines were from, like, the little boy that Chris Hemsworth was extracting. And then I felt so uncomfortable with the violence by the end. Like, and again, I don't mind, like, silly action violence, but this was just like, if you think about it, this is just like a big muscly white guy who's in Bangladesh just like mowing down people of colour. And like it was so violent, unnecessarily violent, and we're not going to go into spoiler street, but like it just felt really wrong to me. Like, I just didn't sit well with me what I was watching. Like, it just, because the violence was so realistic, and it just,
so
just
are you
grim.
are you quoting the, are you bringing up the sort of the white savior complex that
not
appears
even
a
white savior complex?
I didn't
just,
really get that.
It wasn't white savior, it was just a white brute. And Chris Hemsworth can bring any, like, it can elevate any role, and like, I think he was really good at it. So I enjoyed watching him, and I felt for his character. But
the real standout for me was the other dude.
Little, yeah, but
no, and the kid is great as well.
But anyway, so yeah, overall I had misgivings, and do you know what? I really wouldn't recommend it. I don't recommend it as a movie. I think it's a total letdown given the talent involved, which is a shame because we all need, we aside from watching the action and the stunts, they're really good. I don't recommend it as a movie, and we'll speak about the end in a minute, but it was a bit tacked on, wasn't it?
the end wasn't great. Really disagree with you. I think this is brilliant. I don't understand how you could not.
You think this is a brilliant movie?
Yeah, I think it's great, and I think it's, I think I don't really understand your issues with it. Because I actually agree with everything you say, but I don't understand. I haven't come to the same conclusion you have. Like, I agree that it there's no depth to the screenplay. There's no particular like sparkle to the dialogue, but that's fine. It shows a tone, which is we're going to treat this very seriously. We're going to have very elaborate action pieces, and we're going to, and I think the depth is provided by the performances of Chris Hemsworth and the boy. And
but they weren't given enough moments to shine, though. Like, I felt like the action overtook. I wanted more character stuff. I felt like the action overtook it, and I felt like it's a shame not to have had a better script, because it was a really interesting setting. And I know Netflix are in part trying to, like, you know, have more stuff. Like, they wanted stuff set in India, but so it's widening the net of where they're producing, which is cool. But I just feel like you can have all the good action, the good actors, and you can have a really good script. And I just think the script let it down, and the story let
fine.
It down.
Fine, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I think this is a really good.
Visuals.
I think this is a really good action movie.
I think it was like by the end though, like the violence. Did you just? It was just so much.
No. I mean, I was just with it. It is a very violent movie, but I was prepared for that at that stage.
Well, I was prepared after our first sitting.
And really, just on a technical level, I thought it was a brilliant accomplishment. I thought it had more pathos than I had expected it to, or it had any right to. For instance, the John Wick movies, I'm a huge fan of, but they're completely lacking in any emotion or pathos. This movie took a really paint-by-numbers script. Like, it could, in the hands of a different actor and a different director, this could, like, if you put Steven Seagal in this role with a terrible director, then this would be you'd be laughing at how cliched this thing is. But Chris Hemsworth elevates it, and the boy elevates it. So I was with it. And let's talk about in spoilers what specifically I'm talking about. But I think this movie deserves more credit than you're giving it, and I would recommend it to anybody who's a fan of action movies. But often when you're going into action movies, it's the same old formula and the same old beats, but it's there's an ingenuity and inventiveness here, even though it reminded me of other things. So it's almost like an iterative
improvement
on a genre.
I haven't seen The Raid, but like watching it, I felt like it was a knockoff of The Raid, just from everything I've heard about it.
It's certainly reminiscent of The Raid. I think The Raid would have paved the way for this movie, but it's different. It's distinguishable enough. I read up
a little bit on the director, because I was interested in him, and he was saying that like he hadn't even thought about Chris Hemsworth like being in it, but then Chris Hemsworth wanted to do it. He hadn't thought of his like range being in of such a dark character. So I do think that
he nails it.
He is really good at it. I just wish they'd leaned into his charm a bit more, because he's such a charming leading man.
But like, yeah, I agree. We were expecting that.
Yeah.
But then it's more interesting to get that. If we got another sort of Thor. Or whatever guy from the Ghostbusters remake, or whatever hammy nonsense he's used to giving us. Like,
no,
it would have been less interesting.
It would
have been like, I've seen Chris Hemsworth do this.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen Chris Hemsworth. Well, let's get to spoiler streets.
Did
in a
you
minute.
Not watch him when he played Kim in Home and Away? Because he had lots of devastating plots then.
No, I did. I think we were in college. I don't remember any of the plots.
But let's get to spoiler streets.
But sorry, the other real revelation was the guy who's. I can't. Find him in the cast here,
IMDb.
But the boy's bodyguard.
He's brilliant.
He's superb. This dude is a revelation. And the other thing that worked for me in this movie was, I was invested. I was invested in all of the characters and didn't want any of them to die. And so,
I mean, I should hope so. Like, that's like a basic requirement of a movie, is that you don't want your lead to die.
Kathy, do you know how many movies don't pull that off? Do you know how hard that is? Like, how many movies have we watched where they've absolutely... what was the last thing we watched? Ford versus Ferrari. I didn't give two shits about any of those people.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were real people.
Yeah.
And like that's exactly the point we were making there. That's why that screenplay didn't work for me, or that those performances didn't work for me.
But let's
I wasn't
get to
invested.
Street,
I was invested in these
but
fake
can we
people.
Get to spoiler street, because there's a reason we were invested in the bodyguard. That's a plot point.
But before we do, why don't we say a big thank you to some of the people who are donating to our show over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/thecinemile.
Hey, so hi Simon Smith, thank you so much for being a top tier patron. Jason, also a top tier patron. Jack, a movie only patron. Tamara, top tier. And E. Mitchell, movies only. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks guys. If you want to join join them in the ranks of the Cinemile High Club, all you got to do is head to patreon.com/thecinemile, and we have a bonus podcast feed there that you get access to when you sign up, and we've got about 40 episodes there ready to go.
TV reviews, film reviews, everyone gets to vote on what movies we're watching, which is really fun.
Yes.
And tonight we're actually going to watch Looper, which we're super excited
part of
by.
The voted for as part of our time travel movies.
I think
theme.
Looper is better than Extraction. I'll put that out there.
From
recollection.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Spoiler Street now. So, spoilers for Extraction.
So what I was saying from a script point of view, like why this movie, it was very easy to make us invested in The Bodyguard, aside from the fact that he was actually a great actor.
Because he had the phone call with the kid.
They told us that if he doesn't rescue this kid, then his kid's going to get murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately I want the kid rescued then. And
I know.
His was so cute.
Okay, it's a cheap trick, yeah.
It's not cheap, it worked.
Well, it is a cheap trick though. It's an effective one. But
yeah.
It's like, they've given him emotional stakes. Then they give us a phone call with the kid. But the actor was brilliant.
Yeah, he's
in
awesome.
It. He was really good.
I loved the bit when his nose is broken and he reset his own nose.
Oh yeah, nasty.
And his face was all puffy. Like they did some. I honestly think the makeup in this movie was brilliant.
It was good.
His face was all puffy and broken.
They were
battered.
It is like this, and they have this. Him and Chris Hemsworth have that amazing scene with the car chase. Then they're like
so good.
Plowing each other down with trucks and stuff. Like
it was amazing.
They are and they are broken. And this is like not even halfway into the movie, so you got to watch them hobble through the rest of the movie.
That's
which
when
I
it really,
really
kicked
enjoyed.
In for us, like that big scene with those two fighting. We were like, oh, this is awesome. Like we were just loving the action then.
It was absolutely thrilling. Every bit from when Chris Hemsworth gets the boy onwards was just fantastic.
And I think that's kind of the core difference for me, was like I loved the scenes with, say, just him and Chris Hemsworth fighting each other, or even the scene where there was a couple of them running through all the apartment blocks. It was just by the end when it was just Chris Hemsworth on a bridge just like shooting, and on the streets just shooting anyone that moved, and everyone is just shooting everyone, and it just felt like kind of a horrible mass murder all of a sudden. Like it was too much for me, whereas of course hand to hand stuff's really fun from two consenting fighting adults. You know what I mean? Like
consenting fighting adults.
Like, I don't know, just it was too violent by the end, like in terms of like just too much murder. Like how many people had to die to save this one kid? Like if you weighed up the benefits, didn't really seem worth it for that kid. Like,
well, what are you going to do, let the kid die?
No, but it's just, it was like the sums didn't match up. Do you know what I mean? Like, and also like we were saying, okay, of course we didn't want the bodyguard to die because we wanted his kid to be saved.
I was really sad,
but all of those people that they were killing probably had kids too. Like
yeah.
It just felt a bit weird. Like
I guess they were technically just police officers being ordered to do
something. They were just doing their jobs, like.
I know that their upper management was evil.
Exactly.
But they were just being told to take down this guy. They don't know who this guy is.
Exactly.
For all they know, he's a terrorist. So yeah,
it was a bit
like, unfortunate.
But it was like the setting was really cool, like the Bangladesh setting. It looked awesome.
Yeah, let's talk about the very, very end, the bit you're talking about, where they did the stupid sort of, oh, is he actually alive? And it was just like, oh, what did
Yeah, we felt like, so at the very end, right, when, like, the kid's been rescued and, like it seemed like Chris Hemsworth died, and I thought he needed to die, and I thought it was, like, lovely that he saw his dead son before he fell. Like, he saw, because we'd seen the kid as his dead son as a blur throughout the whole movie. We finally saw the kid in focus, and then Chris Hemsworth died, and you kind of felt like they were meeting again in heaven or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what the movie was telling us. And then it cuts to, like, a boarding school.
And then
school.
They're like, oh, maybe.
Somewhere, the kid who was rescued is, like, obviously in, like, a posh boarding school somewhere. It could have been America. We couldn't really tell where it was supposed to be. And then he goes for a swim in the
pool.
Could
have been Australia.
Because this movie loves water, right? So everything was revolving around water. And
I liked that the movie was trying to convey some sort of allegory with the water throughout. It had a whole story about the kid gave him a story about when you're if you fall into a river, you only drown by letting yourself be surrounded by the water. And then there was a lot of water stuff in it. I mean, it's all a little...
It's a bit much.
It's like, a little surface level.
But it was cool
stuff,
at the start when we first meet Chris Hemsworth. And
but
it's
trying.
We really get to know Chris Hemsworth's character, I thought, in a good way, where we see him just jump, like, off a cliff.
Yeah, I thought that was a
like,
bit
immediately
cheesy.
Knew that he has, like, no will to live.
Yeah.
But anyway, at the very end, the kid's in, like, a pool, and he gets out, his head comes out of the water, and he sees a shadowy figure next to the pool who kind of looks like Chris Hemsworth.
And he looks hopeful.
Multiple problems with this, right?
Yeah, why bother?
First of all, clearly Chris Hemsworth is dead, and now they're like, oh shit, this movie's going to be a hit. We need to, because there's no other movies.
Yeah,
maybe we need to just like make it look like Chris Hemsworth's still alive, because we've since heard like that they're making a sequel. But the other thing is, if Chris Hemsworth, if he had survived that, which is impossible because he shot through the back of the neck and fell off a bridge, why him and the kid did not bond that much. Why would he, yeah, 8 months later or whatever it was, go to that kid's boarding school and like
just lurk
by a pool and wait for the kid to dive in and then jump out of the pool?
Yeah,
like
just text him.
Makes no sense. Their relationship.
Hey.
As much as I enjoyed the couple of scenes they had together, and I thought it was sweet that like Chris Hemsworth said like, I am not like letting this kid die, and I'm not taking money to kill this kid. Like, because at one point he basically could have made $10 million if he killed the kid.
David Harbour.
Yeah, so he like, I admired that, and I thought it was nice. But it wasn't that Chris and this kid bonded. It's just that Chris missed his son and felt like he wanted to do something moral with his life. It wasn't
He did. It was about that kid as well. He bonded with the kid
a little bit, but he's not 8 months later going to that kid's boarding school and lurking around his pool. Like, let's get real.
Well, they say that people like feel like an incredibly emotional connection to people that they experience traumatic events with.
Yeah, I mean, they bonded to an extent.
But yeah, look, fine, I'm with you. The end was stupid. Like, why bother? If you're going to say he's dead, then have him be dead.
Yeah.
And don't just, why bother putting us through any of that to just unwrite it 3 seconds
later?
Or
else if you want him
later
to be alive, like, then cut to, like, at the very end, a scene with Chris Hemsworth on his own. Like, just don't bring the kid into it. It's just, like, that kid's over. Like, we don't need to see him in another movie. As great as he was.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which the Russos helped formed, in which...
No one ever dies.
For years, death doesn't matter. If you die, don't worry, you'll be back 3 movies later. So just the impact of any of that is completely lost. But they just fast track the whole thing here. Oh, don't worry about it, he died 30 seconds ago, but maybe he's alive.
The only laughs in the movie were that kid gave us a few laughs. He was sweet.
He was sweet, yeah. Like, it's just like there's lovely little touches, like him playing piano on his knee when he's nervous.
Yeah, and he said, my dad like just sees me as an object, not as a person.
Yeah.
What about, let's talk about the baddie.
Yeah,
he was okay. The actor was great, but like, it's just like, sorry, you're such a baddie that you just like throw kids off roofs and stuff. We get it, you're evil. But
they could have done
so much more with it. Like,
he was a bit, two dimensional.
Yeah,
like they sort of elevated everyone else a bit, but he didn't. I mean, the actor was fine, but like
the woman went to the urinal and shot him.
Yeah, she was.
Actually, quite
she was
enjoyed
cool.
that. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I don't. I like the violence when like a baddie gets killed. So yeah, that was.
But there's
cool.
something satisfying about.
There was also something really satisfying about in the end at the bridge when not him, but like there was a load of baddies in a helicopter, and Chris Hemsworth's boss, the woman who hired him, just like shoots a bazooka at the helicopter.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like, that stuff was really fun.
There's a lot of awesome stuff in this.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I just felt really hollow after it, and like, I don't know. I miss proper movies. Like, why are we stuck watching things like this in Ford versus Ferrari?
I think I would have watched and enjoyed this anyway.
If it wasn't for lockdown,
cinemas being open or not.
If it wasn't for lockdown, I wouldn't have watched it, and we wouldn't have probably done a cinema on it, I'd say. I think I wouldn't have come back to it after that initial kid being thrown off a roof scene.
Yeah, I think you only came back because you thought it would be worth doing a cinema episode about it.
Yeah, we've nothing else to do an episode on.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Not really.
Oh. Yeah, there's not much to say about it. I mean, it's pretty shallow, isn't it?
But like, again, it's just a ream of action movie cliches with some like unexpectedly good performances and incredible choreography and direction.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's more than I want in an action movie. I'm totally fine with that.
And Netflix-
because also, just to go back again to our Ford versus Ferrari review, where we said that we're okay with cliches, and I am in a sports movie. In fact, they're welcome, and it's the same in an action movie. I'm okay with a grizzled ex-military turned guy turned mercenary with a dead son. I was, have I seen that 1,000 times? fine, but like it's familiar territory, and sometimes that's okay because it can be used as a shorthand.
Oh, I don't mind familiar territory.
Hemsworth brought it up a notch. And
do you think he's so conspicuous? Like, he's walking around the streets of Bangladesh, he's like a 6'8" supermodel, like. And it was funny when in the scenes he was with David Harbour, who is in Stranger Things, and in Stranger Things, David Harbour, is it Harbour or Arbour?
Harbour.
He looks so massive, right? Like, he's the huge guy. But then in the scenes he's in with Chris Hemsworth here, he looks quite small.
Yeah.
Because Chris Hemsworth is so big. I liked where that scene and plot went. I really liked their scene together. Yeah. Again, it's just because there was a bit of, like, banter and a bit more going on, maybe. And I liked how, like, David Harbour, like, turned out to be not a baddie, but, like, he's, like, kill the kid. He's, like, the kid's dead anyway, so you may as well kill him.
Yeah, like, his motivations were logical. Yeah. And I didn't feel like he was evil. And when Chris Hemsworth, mercenary boss, tells him leave the kid and go, I didn't think she was evil either. I think these are just people who have grown immune to their own humanity. I think that's what the mercenary life would do to you.
Plus, I think they're like,
she's looking at it logically.
He's a dead kid walking anyway.
Yeah.
And Chris Hemsworth's like, by God, he's
but also, not. But that's an important thing is why they were all telling him to do that, because he was facing an impossible situation with impossible odds. And I thought the movie also did a really good job of expressing that. This felt like one man against a city.
Because he only had to go something like a kilometer.
Yeah.
But we saw how in one city block, what happened to him. Oh my God, and one other thing we have to talk about that we both did enjoy is the kid who the baddie kind of promoted in his ranks, and we were like, no, that kid's going to be a goodie, he's going to come good, he's going to help Chris Hemsworth. Nah! kills Chris Hemsworth. And I did enjoy that, because I didn't see that
coming.
The way
that paid off was like a ridiculous coincidence, but...
No, it wasn't a coincidence, because he said to the guy when he cut off his own finger and gave it to him, you let me kill him.
I know.
And your man was like very conveniently watching the entire battle through a pair of binoculars. That just seemed to work.
So what?
Yeah, no matter how far away anyone is.
Think it through. What? So the kid's just hanging back watching police after police get slaughtered, and then he's like, now's my chance.
Yeah, yeah. Because he said, he embarrassed me. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry that you went up and tried to attack like an Avenger in the middle of the street, and you're like a kid, basically.
And actually, that's another thing this movie, which I haven't seen. It was like, I never would have expected to watch a scene where Chris Hemsworth fights a lot of 10-year-olds.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
Just slaps them
and
about
he's trying
the place.
Not, they're trying to kill him and he's trying not to hurt them. That,
like,
was
that
really
was
funny.
Well done.
Yeah, that was good.
But I will say, the back to the one man and a city thing, this felt insurmountable. Like, so, and I think when a movie, like, often when you refer to like the 80s action movies of yore, which we love, but like, there was never like, you never really felt like Arnie couldn't handle what he was up against, or Sly Stallone couldn't. These were people who just felt in control of everything.
Well, it's like the way leading men used to have to feel invincible, and now they have to feel very vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's exactly right. And this movie very clearly makes you feel the stakes and gives you a sense of the vulnerability of Chris Hemsworth.
Like,
and
when he's down in the sewers. It's so disgusting when he's in the sewer. But one thing that annoyed us both, though, is that the movie began at the end, which is just such a boring and lame trick.
Oh, that's another cliche.
And it added nothing to it. Like, at the
pointless.
End, because we'd taken a few days in between watching it, at the end when he was in the bridge, Dave was like, oh, this is the bit we saw at the start. And I was like, is it? Like, I didn't even remember them showing it to us, because it was like, if you're thrown straight into the end of an action scene, like, for me, like, I can't pay attention to it. I need to be with the action from the beginning. So to throw me in at the end was dull and made me think less of the movie before the movie
started. It's just such
unimaginative.
It's such a pointless construct at this stage. It's been done to death, and I wish screenwriters would stop.
Yeah.
If it's not going to add anything, then don't do it.
Don't
just
do
start
it.
Your story at the beginning, please.
But anyway, more movies from Chris Hemsworth. Love him.
I will say, though, back to like the him against the city thing, that made me feel, I got from that feeling of like insurmountable odds. That's what I wanted from John Wick 3 and didn't get. And I'm not going to spoil John Wick 3, but the John Wick 2 ends in such a way, I'm not going to spoil that either, ends in such a way that you think, oh my God, this is like crazy, this is him against everybody, how is he going to get out of this? John Wick 3 plays with that for about half an hour and then is like back to normal.
Well, it's like, it's often what happens with franchises.
Superpowered again.
Like, remember with Rocky, the way the first one, like, Rocky's so down on his luck and he's so poor, and it really is like him against the machine. And then by like Rocky 3 or Rocky 4, he's like on this gilded throne and like he's like a superstar, and he's less interesting because of it as a character.
Yeah, but Rocky 3 gives him that moment of fallibility where he's reminded.
Yeah,
of
he
that.
Needed it.
He has this fall from grace.
Yeah.
And then Rocky IV, it's more about personal revenge.
Whereas Chris Hemsworth, like, again, when he was in the sewer, come on, that was like, we could nearly smell it. Like, I felt like that was very visceral.
Yeah. So I think, like, I mean, are you more excited about this movie thinking about it now and us having talked about it?
As we're chatting about it, I'm actually remembering that there was a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I think it deserves more credit than you're giving it. But I fair enough that you felt like you felt a bit hollow, like you say, out of
and
it.
And it was very long, and like, you know, like everyone in lockdown, it's like, you know, you have a chance of escapism, and for me, that's not the escapism I'm looking for right now. So
okay,
and that's the reason I wouldn't recommend it to people. But if you love action sequences, of course I recommend this movie. But we need to go.
Yeah, that was fun.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Talk
continuing to write to us, we love it.
Talk to us about Extraction at The Cinemile on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Email us thecinemile@gmail.com,
or just talk to us about anything. Doesn't have to be Extraction.
No, talk to us about Extraction. I will accept no other subjects at
recommend
this time.
Recommend movies to us because we want to watch some movies. And let us know, like, even just any good TV stuff. We just started Hollywood from Ryan Murphy on Netflix, which we're loving, and I think we might actually do a Cinemile on that because it's very cinematic. It's and about Hollywood, and we're desperate.
And we just finished Devs, and we're going to right now record an episode about that for our Patreon.
Yeah. So bye everyone, thanks so much for listening, and talk to you soon.
Bye.
Are you always this brave?
I'm not brave.
You rescue people
sometimes. Sometimes I do other things.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
We host the Holderness Family Podcast every Tuesday.
You may know us from the silly videos that we make online.
Or a book about marriage called Everybody Fights.
Or as winners of season 33 of The Amazing Race.
Still can't believe that happened. Yeah. Listen, we do a lot of stuff, but our podcast is our most favorite thing.
Yeah, because every week we get to sit down face to face, talk to each other about marriage, family, mental health, or just anything that we want to know more about.
Sometimes we have expert interviews, sometimes it's just us, but our goal is to bring some joy and laughter into your life every week.
Our other goal is that maybe you will learn something as well.
Right. So search the Holderness Family Podcast and check out our most recent episodes. We have one about staying organized with creators of The Home Edit.
And one about being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult.
We hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.